Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Four lines from the bottom. It says the Ramari Bar Rachel. Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel, who had been kidnapped by the Nachrim, and there was a Nachri that married her, and then he became a ger. This person's name was Isser Giura. Ramari was their son. Ramari's mother conceived. When his mother conceived, the father was not yet a ger. But by the time Ramari Baruch was born, his father had already been Megai, had already converted. And because of that Yichas situation that he was facing, he was called on his mother's name, Ramari Baruch, and not on his father's name. To teach us the Gemara, Ramari Baruch, Imlechalei Basa Shchute Bahadi Basa Trefa. They salted kosher meat together with non-kosher meat. And as the Rishonim explain, it was done b'klim anukav. It was done in a keli that had holes in it. And says the Gemara, Asla Kameh the Rava, this question was brought to Rava, what is going to be the halachic status of this meat? Do we say that the salt caused that the kosher meat should absorb from the non-kosher meat? Or, as we mentioned in previous shiurim, since this meat is currently busy expelling the dam, so since it's busy expelling the dam, it can't absorb anymore. And therefore, since you had two pieces of meat, that both pieces of meat were being salted, and therefore they were being salted, so they were busy expelling. Since they were busy expelling, there was no time for them to absorb. Amalei, so Rava responded, the Tarek Daisha, when it speaks about the non-kosher shrotzim, the shrotzim that are tamei, Tarek Daisha says the words, Eila tameim lechem b'chol ha-sheretz ha-negeya b'hem b'maisen yitma ad-ha-arif. And the pasuk says the extra letter hey, hat tameim. For here we learn less tziron. Even any juice that comes out of the shrotzim through salting is also considered, says the Gemara, as non kosher. V'roitvan. Similarly, if there's any gravy in which something like this was cooked, is also keep a shalhen, if you cook it and there's small pieces of meat on the bottom of the pot, spices that are at the bottom of the pot, they too are usur. But the Gemara's point is that since the tzir, any juice that comes out from them, is usur, now the blood, we just said a concept that if the blood is busy expelling, it won't be able to absorb while it's expelling. But that halacha, suggests the Gemara, is only applicable when we speak about blood. But when we speak about tzir, that we just said that the tzir is osur, tzir is more absorbent than dam. And therefore, the meat of the shchuta, the kosher meat that was salted together with the non-kosher meat, even though, as we said, that during the time of Malicha, it won't be able to absorb anything since it's busy at that time expelling, but says the Gemara, the tzir is easier for it to absorb, and therefore, since it's easier for it to absorb, so the kosher meat absorbed the tzir of the non-kosher meat, and that will make the kosher meat non-kosher. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, why did Rava have to use the halacha that we just mentioned, that the tzir of non-kosher shrotzim, v'lemelei, why didn't he just say from what Shmuel said, midashmuel, from what Shmuel has been teaching us, dam Shmuel, meliach, somebody that's salted, harei kriseich, it's considered like it's cooked together. Kovish, something that's soaked, is considered kmevushel. So therefore, going back to the question that we began our shiur with, if you're salting or soaking kosher and non-kosher together, the kosher absorbed from the non-kosher, it's considered as if they were cooked together, and therefore that non-kosher meat should certainly have the ability, should have the ability of making the the kosher meat not kosher. Say the Rishonim, yes, the Gemara, as it's saying now, could have taught us this halacha based on the halacha of Tzir. But the halacha is, what was wrong from learning it from the halacha that we started, from the halacha of Melia Kriseya, Kovish Kamavushal? Why is this a better question than the question the Gemara asked from Tzir, that the Gemara prefers to ask this question? So I saw that the Rishonim suggest that even though we're saying that Tzir is indeed more absorbent, Tzir is more absorbent than Dam, and therefore even if the Dam is not Beleya, the Tzir will be Beleya, still there has to be some sort of a shear. And we don't know what that shear is. It's not clear in the Gemara. But here, when we're speaking about cooking together, of course we all know that whenever kosher and non-kosher are cooked together, it's asur, and that's what the Gemara should have just used. Answers the Gemara, even with the Shmuel, if this halacha was strictly based on what Shmuel said, if they're salted together, it's considered like they're cooked together. Hava mina hani mili, when did Shmuel say this halacha domam, that the blood was on a piece of meat, and you salted the two of them together in a kli she'en menukav? That's when Shmuel will tell us meliach kriseach avot tzir v'roitvon. But when Shmuel spoke about the tzir and the roitiv, there it's since they're not blood. There the halacha is that even though the tzir of something that's not kosher is of course not kosher, but still it won't have the ability to make the other piece of meat on that plate osur. Kamash Malan, that's what Rava wanted to teach us, that the halacha of tzir, that the halacha of tzir is that it's considered like the blood, and therefore just like the blood, of course we know if it goes from one keli to the other keli will make it non-kosher, the here too will be same halacha. So our Gemara just taught us the halacha of kavish mevushal. And the halacha of kavish mevushal teaches us that if you soak something, for example, in a non-kosher pot, so there's tam in the non-kosher pot, what you soak there, if it's soaked there for 24 hours, it'll become osur. That's the halacha of kavish mevushal, as we learn in Yerodei Simen Kuf Hei, and based on the Issa V'Heter. So the Taz and the Shach both ask a question. As we just said, what is the definition of Kavish Kamavushal? That was there 24 hours. But at 24 hours, whatever Tam comes out, it's already Tam Pogum. Any Tam after 24 hours becomes Pogum. So therefore the question is most obvious. If it's Tam Pogum, so then even though it's kavish mevushal, shouldn't be a problem. So the Pri Chodesh says that it becomes kavish mevushal at 24 hours, but the tam pogum only kicks in after the 24 hours. That's why we can't rely on saying it's a tam pogum. Says, ask the Plasi, if that's the case, how do we know how to figure out that the kavish kamavushal occurs before the tam pogum? Says the place, because of this question, the way to understand of kavish kamavushal is not to say that at 24 hours that's when it becomes kavish kamavushal. Rather, what it means to say is as soon as you put this together, it starts absorbing the tam, and the tam starts from the beginning. The tam is not felt. the tam is not tasted until 24 hours are up. But it's not that nothing happened until 24 hours. Since the tam has been coming in all along, so therefore explains the placey, that's why it's already usser from before. Because the tam that came through the kvisha was really there all along. And since it was there all along, it just didn't become nirgash. It didn't become that we could feel it till later. That's why the halacha takes this approach that you don't have isra until 24 hours. But the isra didn't start at the moment of 24 hours. Is there before? Meisvei asked the Gemara. The Braisa teaches us daktar shemalchem daktamei. If you salted a kosher fish together with a non-kosher fish, mutter. It's mutter, and we're not concerned that maybe the kosher fish absorbed from the non-kosher fish. My laugh, doesn't the Braisa refer to a situation? Show you shnei meluchim, the kosher fish and the non-kosher fish are salted, and we're not concerned that they're absorbing from the other. Why? Because presumably, since they're busy expelling tam, as we learned, they can't absorb tam. And that seems to be the case even by the tzir. Because, of course, fish has tzir. And a fish has tzir. And we're going to say that tzir is more absorbable than dam. So then, even though the dam of a kosher fish and non-kosher fish are not a consideration, we should be concerned about the tzir. Answers the Maloi. The Brice is speaking about a case going Shayadar Meliach. The kosher fish was salted with Tomei Tafel, but the non-kosher fish was not salted. And therefore, no tzir emanated from the non-kosher fish. Because only the one that's salted causes that there should be an expelling of tam. And therefore, in this case, where the non-salted fish was not salted, so therefore, we don't have to be worried about any tzir coming out from that, about any tzir coming out from there, that kosher, non-kosher fish, and going into the kosher fish. The Rosh explains that we have to learn the Gemara, that it's speaking about a case that it's completely covered in salt. And since it's completely covered in salt, and it's busy because of that salt that it's expelling, so therefore we don't have to worry about it absorption. Tosfos says, based on this Gemara, we can learn that we're allowed to make cheese in cheese molds that were used for non-kosher cheese. Because the cheese is obviously salted, the keli, the mold, is not salted, and that's what we're learning now, that if there's something that's salted is kosher and the non-kosher is not salted, we need not be concerned. The Rosh explains that the reason we could be lenient is because the cheese molds were made out of wood and the wood is not so quick to be makabel the tam. The Martcha, quoting the Ravya, says that it's going to always be usser, the opposite approach. And he explains, since these cheese molds are constantly used to making them cheese which is salted, that causes that there should be a lot of absorption in those molds, and therefore they may never be used for kosher cheese. The Rajba makes a point that even though we have here, the way I understand the Rajba saying, we have a debate how to look at this situation. But certainly, a mold that was used for making non-kosher cheese, the Rajba says, harchik menakia v'adoymaloi. It's inappropriate to use such a mold to make kosher cheese. But ask the Gemara, v'amidik tani sefer, let's continue learning that braisa. The braisa says, hayotam meliach, and tamei tofel, that if the kosher fish is the salted fish and the non-kosher fish is not salted, that's why mutter, it's not a problem. Isn't that a raya, says the Gemara? Mechlal dereshik shnei meluchim askinim, that they are both salted. Not like the Gemara wanted to suggest that the kosher is salted and the non-kosher is not salted. So the Gemara perush kumafarish. The way to understand that braisa is the Seif is explaining the ratio. And the Seif is teaching us, tar shemolchim dag tamei mutter, that if you salted a kosher fish with a non-kosher fish, it's mutter. Continues the braisa to teach us, ketzad, when is that halacha, shayitar meliach, that the kosher fish is salted, and tamei tafel, and therefore, as we just finished explaining, there's no concern about tam traveling. Says the Gemara, hachinam mstabra, that's the way, says the Gemara, it makes sense to explain that braisa. This akadatach, if we're going to explain, says the Gemara, that the reish is speaking about shnei meluchim, that both the kosher fish and the non-kosher fish were salted. And the braisa is telling us that the kosher fish remains kosher. So now we have an obvious question. Hashta, if in the case where shnei meluchim, where both the kosher and non-kosher fish are salted, that loch is shari, it's mutter. So certainly in the case of tam melich v'tamei tafel, it should be mutter. Why would it be necessary for the braisa to introduce that new case in the sefer? It must be that the Sefer, says the Gemara, doesn't represent a new case, but rather the way to understand the Sefer is that the Sefer is explaining the Reisha, and the Sefer is telling us that this is only a case where the kosher is salted and the non-kosher is not salted. Says the Gemara, if this is what you want to base your explanation on, it's not compelling. Perhaps the way to learn the braisa is the sefer helps understand the reisha. The loitema, don't, says the braisa, assume that the reisha is speaking about a case with tar melich with tamei tafel. Avol shnei meluchim, if they would both be salted, is asur. So therefore, tells us the sefer that the halacha when it's tamei melich with tamei tafel. So that case has already been taught. So the reisha is obviously not that case. And mechlal, that would be a raya, that the reisha is speaking about shnei meluchim, that even if they're both salted, v'filach ishari, that loch would be that they're still mutter. So this braisa is not a raya. Toshma says, the Gemara, let's continue learning that braisa. The sefer says, I'm tamei meliach. If the tamei fish is salted, v'tar, so asur. So what do we see? Only because the tamei, the non-kosher fish, is salted, the tar tafel hudasar. From here we see shnei meluchim, then it would be mutter. So we have a raya that even though they're both salted, since they're busy, as we've been learning through the shir, doing expelling, there's no absorption. Says the Mar again, that won't be a raya. Because either the tani reisha tar melich v'tamei tafel, tani nami say v'tamei melich v'tar tafel, but we can't learn from there, says the Gemara, what will be the halacha by shnei meluchim. So even though this braisa, say all the rishonim, has not been a raya, the halacha is that we still follow the opinion of Rava, and Rava has taught us that when the tar is salted and the tamei is not, there's room for leniency. Simen Bisra the monarch Nefkusa says the Gemara Amish Shmuel, Ein abas yotz v'dei damai, the meat doesn't lose the isadam, the dam doesn't come out. Elm ke mocha yofi yofi, you have to salt it very well, and the halacha also is the medicha yofi yofi. As we're going to learn, there's a halacha of hadacha. You have to salt it well and rinse it well. Mocha yofi yofi means that, what is the simple definition of mocha yofi yofi? The definition of mocha yofi yofi is that it has to be salted from all sides. So I saw a very nice pshat. When a chassan and a kala get married, we give them a bracha that the zivik should be oily yofa yofa. What does it mean? That just like as we're learning here, when we say we salt the meat, it should be yofa yofa, it should be salted from all sides. The bracha that we give the chas and kala, that their shidduch should be yofa yofa from all sides. The chas towards the kala, the kala towards the chasen, yala yafa yafa, both sides should be very satisfied with the shidduch. Says the Gemara, itmar, says the Gemara, itmar, rafuna amar, meleach, the first you do the salting, and then medich, you rinse the meat, in the brisa, however, we learned medich, first we rinse, and then melech, and then we salt. And then, on medich, and then we rinse again. Says the Mevalai Pligi. So what is the proper order? Answers the Mevalai Pligi. Ha de chala be tafcha. If it was already rinsed by the shaychit, so therefore there is no need for adocha rishoyna. Ha de loy chala be tafcha. If it wasn't rinsed by the shaychit, then it has to be rinsed before you salt it. You have to rinse it again. But one thing we see, that you have to have hadocha rishoyna, that before you salt the meat, you have to rinse the meat. And the Rishonim offer many different explanations why is this the halacha. The Ra explains that even though, as we know and we're learning, that the salt has the ability to extract the blood that's in the meat, the salt does not have the ability to take off the blood that's on top of the meat. And therefore, the halacha requires that in order to get off that blood, you have to rinse the animal first. The Ran explains that the purpose of washing it, of washing the meat, is to soften up the meat. And therefore, by softening up the meat, it will be easier to extract the blood. The Mordechai explains, if you won't rinse the meat first, then the blood salt will get all bloody, and it won't have the ability to take out the blood. The Mordechai brings another opinion that to soften up the meat, you have to soften up the meat that blood already came out from. Others explain that there's blood that might be on the meat because you cut the meat before you salt it, and that cutting, as we learned in our previous year, Duchka de Sakina causes that blood should get more absorbed into the meat. And the only way to get it out is by salting it. The Rush explains that salt does not have the ability to extract blood only on washed meat that was washed first. Then the salt could work. The Mechaber writes that we have to rinse the meat before we do melicha. And if after we rinsed it, we cut the meat, so based on what we just learned, says the Mechaber, we have to rinse it again before we salt it. And explains the Prima Gadim, is because as we're learning, you have to, especially as we learned, that if you cut the meat, it causes the blood to get more absorbed, and therefore washing is required. What would be the halacha if somebody salted meat without doing hadacha first? Will it work that you could repeat? That means if you salt it without washing, will it be effective if you wash and then salt again? The Hagos Maimoni quotes the smack that if you salted the meat without washing it first, there's nothing you could do to make that meat salvaged that help take out the salt. The others take a more lenient approach, and they say that since salt has the ability to extract the blood, so yes, we're learning that the salt, the various explanations we gave, that the salt could only do its job if it was wet. But as long as it was wet first, it was made wet before you salted, even though it was salted previously, it will not be a problem. And that's, in fact, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Molech v'laydiyah t'chila, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you did salting, where hadocha rishayna, yadichena v'yamlichena shenis. Just repeat, wash and salt. But the Shulchan Aruch says, this is the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideh Simen Samach Tes Sif Beis, The Shulchan Aruch says v'yesh oishrim, and the Rama says kein noigim la'aser. Our meaning is that if hadachar rishona wasn't done, we can't make this meat good. However, says the Rama, if it's a situation of hefsim ruba, if there's a significant loss involved, yesh lahater. Furthermore, says the Rama, that if there was a big piece of meat, and the big piece of meat is 60 times bigger than any dam that was on the surface of the meat, then he would be more lenient and say that you could repeat this by washing and salting again. The Shmuel said the halacha about washing and salting. And what about sitting in the salt? The halacha is that it has to sit on the salt. And even though Shmuel didn't mention it, explain the Rishonim, because it was obvious that that's the halacha. And the question is, how long does it have to sit in the salt? The opinion of the Rambam is it has to sit in the salt kedei hiluch mil, the amount of time it takes to walk a mil, which is approximately 18 minutes. Tosfos' opinion is that it has to be in the salt the amount of time it takes to roast the meat and make it edible. And the Trumas Hadeshin says, and that's what the Trumas Hadeshin says, is the Minika Oilam, that the Minika Oilam is that you have to keep it in the salt for an animal. The says the Gemara, Rav Dima da Malachle, Rav Dima da salted the meat, the Milcha Galanisa. Milcha Galanisa means thick salt, and therefore because it's thick salt, the salt does not melt in the meat. It doesn't get absorbed into the meat, and it's going to be able to extract the dam. And then Menapasle, he would take off the salt from the meat, because at a certain point, the salt absorbs the blood, and you don't want that blood to get reabsorbed into the meat. And therefore, if it's thin salt, that we don't have that concerned. Therefore, the halacha is that you don't have to be concerned, and there's no halacha that requires niputz. That's one pshat in the Gemara, and the Rishonim take this a step further, and that is there a need for hadacha achroina, washing the meat after you salted it? And some say that the Gemara is differentiating between the salt that you used, thick salt, you have to do hadacha shniya, that the thick salt, you don't have to do hadacha shniya, you could just brush it off. Other salt, you have to do hadacha shniya. Furthermore, the halacha is that l'chatchila, says the Rosh, that after the meat sat in the salt, we should wash it off twice. Once to get off the salt and the blood that might be on the surface, and the second time is to get off that water that's on the surface. And they say that that's what medicha yofa yofa means, that after you should wash it twice after the salting. But the Beis Yosef quotes the Smach, that the halacha is that if you didn't do it, if you only washed it off once, it'll be satisfactory. And there's some that suggest that you should wash it three times after the salting. So, as I said, our Gemara just said that they salted it and then they took off the salt. Ramban and Ran say that that is by thick salt, and the halacha is teaching us that instead of doing hadacha, if I have thick salt, then nipitz will be enough. Others explain that you should know, and that this is what they say is the Rambam's understanding of this Gemara, that what Rav Dimi is coming to teach us is that we have to use thick salt, and that thick salt, niputz, should be brushed off. And after you do the brushing off, then we do the hadacha. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Samach Tes Sif Zayin says, before you put the meat in, before you're going to wash off the meat, brush off the salt or rinse off the salt, and then only afterwards you should do hadacha, the hadacha shniya, and the hadacha shniya should be done twice. According to this, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening that whether, no matter whatever type of salt you're doing, you have to do hadacha. Also, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that we have to do hadacha twice. And the Shulchan Aruch is also telling us that before we do that hadacha, we have to make sure to get the salt off the surface of the piece of meat. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mesharshia. Eim azikim dam b'bnei ma'ayim. The intestines of an animal, we don't have to be concerned to have dam. And therefore, even if one did not salt that meat, one may eat it. What is exactly that piece of meat? Says the Gemara, Tergema, he explained, Arkakasha, it's the intestines that don't have blood, or Ma'aya, the stomach, the Hadra, the Tatka, one is the large intestines, and one is the small intestine. So the question is, what does it mean when it says, Eimach zikim dam b'bnei ma'ayim? Says the Gemara, says the Ramban, that the Gemara did not use the words, Ein dam b'bnei ma'ayim, that there's no blood there. Rather, what the Gemara says, Eimach zikim dam b'bnei ma'ayim, which means, he says, we need not be concerned that there's blood there. But certainly, if we see that there's blood, we have to treat that blood. Moreover, the Rosh says this, and so too the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran, said that even though the actual meat of the Bnei Ma'ayim, we need not be concerned, has dam, but the Shamnunis, the fat that's there, has dam. And therefore, since it has dam, that's an area that has to be salted, even if it's kosher chalev, to get that dam out. Om Shmuel, Eimanichin Bas Meliach, when you're putting meat for salting, you should only salt El Al Gav Klei Menukav, only on a keli that has hole in it. Because if you're going to salt in a keli where it has no holes, we need to be concerned that the dam will gather in that keli, and then because we're mill of salting that dam, that piece of meat, it will reabsorb the blood. The Rishonim say that Ran says this. The Gemara says Ein menichin means that we shouldn't leave it there for a long time. What does that mean? So the Ran explains that after the blood is finished extracting, so as we learned earlier in our shiur, says the Ran, while the piece of meat is involved in expelling the blood, we need not be concerned that it's going to absorb blood. But here the Gemara says the Ran, the word eimanichin. Menichin means we're going to let it sit there. And that means that it's going to finish expelling. And once it's finished expelling, then it's going to have the ability to absorb this blood. It says the Gemara of Sheshes Malach Lei, Rav Sheshes, when we had meat that required melicha, would do garma, would meat, would salt each piece separately. Ask the Gemara, Trei Maitamaloi, why did he not salt the pieces altogether? Answers the Gemara, because he was concerned, Shem the Parash Mahayu Bal Bahai, the blood is going to go out of one piece of meat and go into the other piece of meat. So ask the Gemara if that is a reasonable concern. So even if you had nami, even if you're salting just one piece of meat, why not be concerned parashma haigisa or balal haigisa? It's going to go from one piece, side of the atom piece of meat to other piece of meat. And therefore, says the Gemara, Loishna, it doesn't make a difference. You could salt one piece or many pieces, as we just learned, because it's busy expelling, we need not be concerned about any absorption. Omar Shmuel Mishum Rabchia, Hashoiva Mafakta, if somebody breaks the neck bone of an animal, Kodim Shetetz Nafsha, before it expires, Hareza Machbet as a Basar. Usually, an animal, after it's slaughtered, is going to begin groaning. And that groaning will cause it to expel blood. But if you broke the neck bone and it's suffering and it's in pain, it doesn't have the strength to groan. That for it won't expel blood. And therefore, says the Gemara, it's considered geisel as a brius. Because the blood, the meat, is heavier because it has all that blood left in it. Mavliya dam bevarim. And also because it's not groaning. The act of groaning causes it to expel blood. But here, it won't. So now ask the Gemara, Bailu Hechikomer, exactly how are you to understand what we just learned? Do we say Machber as a boss of a guy's labrius? The blood that's going to remain there makes the meat heavier, and because it makes it heavier, that's why the person who's buying that meat is getting more blood and not meat. Machber as a boss of a guy's labrius, Mishum the Mavlia Dam Bevarm, it causes the blood to remain there. Holiday day. So if that's the case, so I'm not allowed to sell that meat because I am cheating the customers of this meat. But if I'm keeping the meat for myself, that would be fine. Or Dilma, maybe the way to learn is the Lidei Nami Osir. Even I may not hold on to that meat because part of the way we're allowed to eat meat and not be concerned about the blood in the meat is because the meat, we have to get out the salt through Malicha. But this animal that won't be groaning will not ever expel all of its meat, all of its salt, and Malicha won't be able to help, and therefore nobody's allowed to eat the meat, even the owner of the meat. And the Gemara remains with a tefil. Says the Mishnah, Hamal Sa'if Megvin al Shulchan, somebody put poultry, chicken, and meat and cheese on the same table, even though that's a clear violation of what we learned in the first Mishnah of this parak, Eino Aviv Loisa say, that is not considered that you violated the lav of Lois Vashel Gedi B'chalev Imai, because you didn't cook anything. Says the Gemara, Ha'echoi, it seems that our Mishnah is saying that if you did this, there's no Issa D'Raisa. But if one would eat Oif and Gavina, Oiva Beloisa say. The Mishnah seems to be teaching us that Oiva Beloisa say. Shmamina. So it seems clear that our Mishnah is of the opinion Shleiker, that Bosa Oif Becholov, that this Bosa Oif Becholov is a Isser the Raisa. Says the Gemara, this is the Raisa, which is not like a Rekiva. So the Gemara's question is there any way of reconciling our Mishnah with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? Ema, says the Gemara, Hamalas Oifim Gvin al Shukha en Bolodei Sosa say, it means that you're not going to be over Issa Loisa say the Raisa. But the Mishnah doesn't mean to say that you won't be over the Rabbanon, and therefore it'll be able to be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Continues the Mishnah, Basa Behema Tahira, the meat of a kosher animal, and the same would be by Chai V'Oif, B'chalei Behema Taira, that was cooked in the milk of a kosher animal, Osul Vashul, one may not cook them together, Os Bano, one may not benefit from it. Bos Behema Taira, B'chalei Behema Tameya, however, says the Gemara, what happens if you have the meat of a kosher animal that was cooked in the milk of a non-kosher animal, or Basa Behema Tameya, Bechalei Behema Taira, or not kosher meat in kosher milk, Mutta Vashel, Der Alochas will allow to cook them together, Mutta Bana, and we have a lot of Anah. So from here, it seems that the Mishnah clearly is teaching us that the Isser of Basar B'Chalav is only by kosher milk and kosher animal. What would be the halacha if you have kosher meat in the milk of a kosher chaya? We're talking about meat to meat, behemoth to behemoth. What will be the halacha? Kosher milk from a kosher, meat from a kosher animal, in the milk of a kosher chaya, says the Tzlach that this is the subject of a machloikis of the Rambam and the Torah. The Rambam says that it will not be osim deraisa. The only time you have an issa deraisa is kosher behema meat with kosher milk from a behema. And in this case, it'll only be osim derabanan. The Torah says differently. The Torah says that the main point is that it's meat that's kosher. And therefore, if it's the meat that's kosher, it doesn't make a difference to us why it's kosher. Is it kosher because it's a kosher behema or is it kosher chaya? There's a very interesting tshuva. Here we're learning that the issa bas b'chalav is not limited to eating them together, but cooking them together and benefiting from them together is all included in the issur of basar b'chalav. There's a tshuva, and the Shas of tshuva is type of Misharim from the Chabina Rav, Chelik Aleph Simon Lamed. He says that this shaila was asked to him by Ramey Shapiro when Ramey Shapiro was in Germany, in Frankfurt, and there was a chemist that asked this question. He says many times there is brought milk chocolate, and there's a question that milk chocolate may have animal fat. And the way to make that determination, if it has animal fat or not, is by doing some sort of a chemical test, which involves cooking up the chocolate. But if it turns out that the chocolate, that there is animal fat, and it's a dairy chocolate, why would be allowed to do that test? Isn't that called cooking meat and milk together? So he says a very interesting tshuva. He says, why did the Torah say that not only may we not eat meat and milk together, we're not allowed to even cook it together? He says, because the Torah is concerned that if we're going to cook it together, we may eat it together. This person is showing that he is obviously not going to eat meat and milk together, because he's going out of his way to test if there's any animal fat. So the Chibina Rav is Mekel. There are those that have an issue with that tshuva. Because yes, it makes sense to say that the reason the Torah says we're not allowed to cook meat and milk together because we're concerned that you may come to eat it together. But that's called using Tam of the Kraw. We're trying to attribute the explanation of the Torah, the explanation of the Pasuk. And the halacha is that we have no right to do that. We have to follow what the halacha says, and we have no right to start making determinations why the halacha says. And if the halacha is that we're not allowed to cook meat and milk together, the reasons are immaterial. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Chayv Oif Eina Min HaTorah. As we learned, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that the issur of cooking Chayv Oif with milk is not the issur d'oraisa. Why does he say this? He says, because the Torah says, Loshavash Gadi B'chalev Imoy. And the Torah says, Sholosh Pamim. Prat L'chaya, it comes to exclude that there is no Bas B'chayv by Chaya, by Oif, by Bird, and by Behemoth Tameya. By all of these, there is no Bas B'chalev. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, the Mishnah Imer, Nem Loshach L'chal Nevela. And the Torah says, Loshach L'chal Nevela. And the Torah also says, Loshavash Gadi B'chalev Imoy. So we learn from here, where you have a piece of meat that can become nevela, osl vash b'cholov, and therefore it includes behema v'chaya. Oif, she'osa m'shem nevela. So you can have also a kosher oif become nevela. So therefore, we should say, if you're learning now that anything that become an avela has bas b'cholov, yei osl vash b'cholov, so you should not be allowed to cook poultry in cholov also. Tamlem b'chalevi mai, only an animal that its mother has milk. Yotza oif, a bird that the halacha is that it doesn't have milk of a mother, and therefore it's not osl m'deraisa. However, the question is, what will be the halacha min the Rabbanan? And the Rishonim, as we're going to see it in the Gemara, say that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, not only is there no basa oif, there's no issa deraisa of basa oif b'chalav, but Rabbi Yosef Glili held that there's no issa the Rabbanan either. Begins the Gemara, Menani Mili, the Mishnah said that there's an issa to cook basa b'chalav. Menali Mili, how do we know this? Says the Gemara, Amar Belezer Amakra, the Pasuk says that when Yehuda sent to Tamar the Gdi Izim that she should return the items that he left with her, the Pasuk says, V'yishlach Yehuda's Gdi Izim l'kachas arava miyare isha. Kan, says the Gemara, here the Torah says Gdi Izim. The Torah stresses Gdiizim. From here we know that Kol Mokim Shnem Gdi Stam, where the Torah just uses the word Gdi, not Gdiizim, the Loch is, the Torah's come to teach us that not only goat, a field of para, a cow, v'rochel, and a sheep, b'mashma, are also included in the Isser of Bas B'cholov. Ask the Gemara, v'neilif minai, why don't we learn from the Gdi Izim, that it says there, that wherever the Torah says Gdi, it means Gdi Izim. Answers the Gemara, Ksiv Kra Achrina. There's another Pasuk, that where Rivka sent Yaakov to get the brachas from Yitzchak, and the Pasuk says, V'es Irish Nei Gdi Izim, Habisha Ayodav Al-Chalket Tzavarov. Kan, so we learn from here, the Torah is saying that they use Gdi Izim. Hakam Makayim, everywhere else, which just says Gdi Stam, it includes a filipara v'rocho b'mashma. Ask the Gemara, so fine, in both of these places, it says Gdi Izim. So why can't these two places serve as a source that everywhere where it says Gdi, it means Gdi Izim? V'leilif mino, answers the Gemara, because havelish shnei ksum abam kechad, this becomes a situation where you have two psukim teaching us the same halacha, and the rule is that kol shnei ksum abayim kechad, if the Torah tells us the halacha twice, ein melamdim, it can't serve as a source, and as Rashi Masechta Pesachim teaches us. The whole way the Torah is taught is that the Torah says something, and that becomes a source for other places. But that would be enough if the Torah said it once. Why did the Torah need to say it twice? The reason the Torah said it twice is to teach us where it said, and where it's not said, it's not. Says the Gemara Hanicha, but ask the Gemara, that's acceptable according to the opinion that two times a melamdim. But there's another opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Masechta the Sanhedrin, the melamdim, that if it's said two times, it's still not a reason that we can't learn from there. Answers the Gemara, so according to Michael Maimer, maybe indeed it would only mean Bas B'chalav is by Gdi Izim. Answers the Gemara, Trei Mi Tuksiv. The Pasuk says Izim Ha Izim, that only the Torah says Izim Ha Izim, that only in these places, not anywhere else. Of course, they sort of showed him ask that the question is that the Torah says the word Gdi Izim many times in each one of these parashas. So even though they explain the Torah says Gdi Izim many times in these parashas, but it's all one parasha, so it's only considered like it says Gdi Izim once. Says the Gemara, the Torah says, as we said, Lois Vashe Gdi B'chalevi Mai, three times. So we learn from the word Gdi Halachas and from Chalev Imai Halachas. And therefore says the Gemara, Amishmo Gdi, the Rabbis is a Chalev. If somebody cooks Chalev in Chalev, he's over, besides the Isser of Chalev, he's also over Isser Bas B'chalev. Gdi l'rabbis is a Mesa. If somebody cooked the meat of an Avela in milk, it's basa b'chalav. Gedil rabbis is shalil. If somebody cooks the fetus of an animal, the halacha is it's considered basa b'chalav. But then continues the Gemara Gedi, lahaitzi is adam. If somebody cooks blood in milk, it's not considered basa b'chalav. Gedi lahaitzi is a shilya. That's the sack in which the fetus finds itself. There is no basa b'chalav on that. And Gedi lahaitzi is a tameya. We learn from Gedi that basa b'chalav does not apply by non-kosher animals. Furthermore, the pasuk says b'chalev imay, v'loy b'chalev zachar. If a male animal has an accumulation of milk, that's not milk that is considered basa b'chalav. B'chalev imay v'loy b'chalev shchuta. We spoke about this earlier when we learned the halacha of a chal. If there's milk in the animal that we find after we shechted the animal, it's not a problem. B'chalev imay b'chalev tmeya. The milk of a non-kosher animal, the milk of a non-kosher animal does not make basa b'chalav. Ask the Gemara, Hatlasa Gedi Ksivi. The Torah says the word Gedi three times, and we're learning from Gedi, Shita the Shinon. We're learning six halachas, but it's only three. There's three ribui and three miut. How can we learn six new halachas? Answers the Gemara, Ksava Shmuel. Shmuel is of the opinion, a subject that we learned extensively early in the Masechta. There's a chalal iser. So therefore, if that's the case, issa chalal iser. So if that's the case, we understand that both by chalev or nevela, there's going to be bas b'cholov. Issa chalev umeis mechad kro nafki. This of chalev and nevela, we can learn from one pasuk that pasuk is telling us that it's usur. Dam nami, the halacha of dam, we don't need a pasuk for, because lav gedihi, it's not an animal. Shilyanami, the sack doesn't need a pasuk, because pirshav alma, it's just waste. Pashle trei, we are left with two psukim. Chad l'rabbis is shlil. One comes to teach us that the fetus, there is basa b'chalav, but chad l'muti behemet tameya, that it comes to exclude that there is no basa b'chalav by non-kosher animals. Ask the Gemara v'sav shmul. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed Shmuel's opinion that is a chalal iser? Ask the Gemara of Amish Shmuel, Mishum Rebbe Lazar, Menayin l'koyin tamei. How do we know if there's a koyin that's tamei? She'ochel truma tameya, she'en achayiv misa. If somebody eats truma tameya, if a koyin tamei eats truma that's toys chayiv misa, how do we know there won't be any misa here? Shnemar, because the pasuk says, v'shamas mishmati, so from here we learn only if you're tamei and you ate truma that's tar, that's when you're chayiv. Prat lazu shemechalalus medes. That's already also because it's tamei. So we see that, and therefore, and here there's no misa b'day shemayim because it's also ready, and we say enes chala iser. Answers the Gemara. Ebay seima, we can learn that by alma Shmuel holds ischala aser. Why by truma does he not hold that way? The miyat rachmana, there's a special miyat that says umesuba. That's one way of understanding. Suggests the Gemara. Ebay seima, by alma kusav Shmuel ain ischala aser. V'shani hocha, the Torah says the Rabbi rachmana that the Torah says that special limit to say ischal aliser. In other words, Shmuel holds that by bas b'chalav there's ischal aliser. That's his own opinion. This that he said that we learned by truma ain't ischal aliser is the opinion of his rebbe. Barminei Rav Achdumi bar Ami mirav hamvashel b'chalav gedish loynika. You have an animal that never had a baby, but it has milk forming in anticipation of having a baby. What's the status of that milk? Amalei, so Rav explained, Midetzuch Shmuel Amayim B'chalev Imei B'v'loi B'chalev Zohar. Shmuel had to teach us that milk of a male is not milk. So what do we hear, learn from there? Zohar U'dolayos L'chalein. A male that will never be a mother, there is no din of bas b'chalev, of a high. This animal, even though it was never really a mother, but kivin debechol chol aim, it had the potential of becoming a mother. That's why it's also there is bas b'chalav. There's a bas b'chalav in such meat.